I'm looking at the numbers from Real Clear Politics here. And looking at the House and the way it's going to play out, shocking to the Democrats. Shocking to the Democrats, because it looks to me like it's going to be 222 for the Democrats and 213 for the Republicans. Three races are yet to be conceded, one in California, one in Iowa, one in New York, I believe. There you go. Casey Smedley here is an RNC Deputy Communications Director joining me here on the program. Casey, welcome. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to have you here. Is that the count you have currently? 222, 213. That's where I think it's going to come out. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I'm trying to think what is still outstanding. But what we know from that count, of course, the magic number getting passed in the House is 218. So to have 213, that leaves Nancy Pelosi with an incredibly slim majority. That leaves Republicans incredibly empowered to have a strong voice at the table. And that's good news for their constituents.
Yeah, one of the races outstanding is California 25.
Yeah.
The Republican leading by 0.2 of a point, very close. Let's see here. You've got Iowa, is it Iowa 2, where the margin is like 40 votes or something. I mean, it's really tight, but there's nothing else to count. I think they're just waiting for certification on that one. And in New York, I believe you had one race because New Jersey 7 came in for the Democrats. In New York, that leaves out 22, but Brindisi is behind by like 3 points. So I don't understand why that one has not been taken off the board, but those are the three, and they all favor the Republicans. So
yeah.
I think that's a pickup of 14 seats, is it not?
Yeah, and incredible. And I want to note, too, not only is that a pickup, so that's, I think that would put us, well, that would certainly add to our flip count, which I think currently we're standing at flipped 13 seats. And then you're also talking about, what I love so much about this new freshman class is that it's, everybody we love, it's women, it's veterans, it's immigrants, it's people who are saying, you know what, I come from districts where I was told my entire life my only option was to vote for a Democrat. Sometimes I didn't even see a Republican on the ballot. And what we saw this year from the president, and then we were really involved in this at the RNC and with the state parties, to make sure that people had the ability to put together good campaigns, but that they felt well supported. But then they were supported by the voters, who came out and said, yes, you represent my neighborhood, my community. And so we're excited for the math of how many Republicans are going to be in Congress. And, of course, we've got that strong effort in the Senate to hold the line with the special election in Georgia. But we're also really excited about the voters who got these folks to Congress. And that takes a lot of ground game. That takes a lot of infrastructure, a lot of data, things that I know you've talked about with our chairwoman many times before.
Sure.
And we're really proud of all of that work. But we're most proud that the American people see that it's the Republican Party who's fighting for them and who's representing them. And that's why when you saw nearly 73 million people come out to vote for President Trump, they voted the entire way down the ballot. You know, that wasn't the case for Democrats. They might have voted for Joe Biden, but then they left the rest of the ballot, or they skipped around, or they crossed over.
You know, and that's the exact point.
Yeah.
That's the exact point, is people question the outcome of the election for president because Republicans won all over this country. Republicans
right.
picked up three state houses, didn't lose one. Picked up a governorship in Montana, didn't lose one. I believe the only seats in Congress that went the other way were one
open.
Seat, and then two were opens. There
right.
was one seat maybe, where did I write that down? I missed one. There was one somewhere in Georgia, and I don't know if that seat was contested or not. But there's only three places where Democrats picked up seats, one in Georgia, two in North Carolina, the two in North Carolina, uncontested. So that's why people look at the fact that Donald Trump got 11 or 12 million more votes and voters in 2020 than he did in 16,
right.
and has 60,000 people at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, as an example. And we're supposed to believe that a guy that didn't leave his basement won the presidency.
Yeah, that's why, again, as our chairwoman says, the audits of the votes are so important. The certification are so important for the integrity of the ballot, but also to see what did happen there. We know, for example, we just talked about, you mentioned some races earlier in California and New York. So states where we wouldn't necessarily be able to win on the presidential level, we still saw incredible numbers of people come out and voted not only for President Trump, but that helped carry the rest of the ballot. President Trump is a huge legacy of what he's done for the entire Republican Party and the entire ballot of motivating voters. So while we are figuring out what happened in these other states where there's still some discrepancies about ballots, and that's why we're still on the ground, we're also noting, though, that for the big picture here, Democrats are in a lot of trouble. President Trump expanded the tent. He expanded the energy within our base. You know, I know the mainstream media loves to say, oh, the base of the Republican Party is just a small group of people. No.
Not true.
I don't know this from going to rallies. It's people who, for the first time in their lives, have voted. For the first time in their lives, have felt like they had an option other than Democrat. For the first time in their lives, are paying attention and seeing that it's the Republican Party, led by President Trump, who is fighting for them on the issues that actually affect our local economy, our family's dinner table conversations. And that is something that the president, Chairwoman McDaniel, are harnessing and holding on to so that this isn't a blip, that this is something that is now today's Republican Party. And the socialism, radical leftism, was soundly rejected by the American people. And not only that, they saw that they had another option. We weren't a default. They were empowered to vote for Republicans. And that's what, as Republicans, we feel very energized to take up. And we have a mandate. And whether that's with our very powerful minority position in the House, to tell Nancy Pelosi and the squad that you don't get to come here and do Medicare for all, government-run health care. You don't get to come here and open our borders. You don't have that mandate. You've got to work with the Republicans.
You don't have a mandate at all. In fact, there's no, only about 20 seconds here, but I don't know that Nancy Pelosi will be the speaker either, Cassie. Greatly appreciate. I got to read Cassie Smedley, RNC Deputy Communication Director. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Greatly appreciated. Quick break. Stacey Washington on the way. Stacey on the right, not far out. Don't go anywhere. It's the Steve Gruber Show.